Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a great blessing that we may be here again to join together in the worship of our triune God. A hearty welcome to all who are present here and to those who have joined us via the live stream. May the preaching of the gospel direct the hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ and cause us to live our lives to the praise and honour of his name. Consider the following announcements. Sister Tamara Elberts has returned to her home after living in Canberra for some time. Tamara has requested to rejoin the Free Reformed Church of Southern River. Consistory has agreed to this request, and if no lawful objections are received by the 4th of April, she will be considered a member from that date. An attestation has been received from Sister G. Van Duyn from the Free Reformed Church of Albany. Sister Van Duyn is a resident of Fairhaven, and we welcome her as a member of our congregation. Classes North will convene, the Lord willing, on Friday the 29th of April in Lagana, Tasmania. And this afternoon we welcome Reverend Bradenoff from the Sister Church in Mount Ashura to conduct the service. Before we begin, we'll sing from hymn 14, verse 10.
If you're able, please rise for worship. At the beginning of our service, we confess our dependence on the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's respond to God's greeting of grace by singing Psalm 97, stanza 1. Lord God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one triune God. And we confess our faith in the name of this triune God this afternoon with the words of the Nicene Creed. After the Creed, we'll add our praise to our confession, singing hymn 80, verse 1 and 2. Confess with me in your hearts, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us call on the name of the Lord God together and pray for his blessing on our worship and on the hearing of his word. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercy in adopting us as your children in Jesus Christ, making us sons and daughters of the Most High. Father, we thank you that we may know you as Father, one who is gracious, one who is loving, one who is patient, one who is just, one who is faithful. Lord God, we thank you that we may enjoy every benefit of being your children, that we can have your protection and your blessing and your favor always. And gracious Father, you give us your guidance also. You speak to us as a father speaks to his little children, for you give us your word of truth in the Scriptures. And Lord, your word is a true word. It's rooted in history. It's based in your own character as the God who does not lie, does not change his mind. Your word recounts events which are not simply clever inventions or human fairy tales, but your word tells us, O Lord, what actually happened. Your word tells us how things actually are. We thank you for your truth, for your reliability in the word, that as we read your word from day to day, also as we meet together to hear your word, we may be completely sure of what we hear, completely sure of what we read, for we may be totally certain of you and may put our trust wholly in you, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we open your word, we pray that you would give your blessing as we read it, that your word may work powerfully in us, that its living truth would be written into our hearts and our minds. Father, grant it that we would be a people who love your word and who seek your will, that we'd be not content to take in milk, that we would be eager always for solid food, that we may mature, that we may know better who you are and also how better to serve you. So, Father, we seek your blessing as you have promised it. We ask for your wisdom as you hold it out to us in your word. We pray that you would please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, we will look together at the Word of God as it's summarized in Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10 is about God's providence. And we'll read from the Scriptures, a passage which relates to the teaching of providence. And that's Ephesians 1. So turn with me to Ephesians 1. We learn about the eternal will of God and how he governs all things through his Son, our Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1, we read the whole chapter. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So far, our reading from God's Word. We'll sing before the preaching of God's steadfast care and faithfulness in Psalm 91, verse 1, 2, and 5. This afternoon we turn in the Catechism to Lord's Day 10, which explains an aspect of our faith from the Apostles' Creed. In the first section of the Creed on God the Father and our creation, Lord's Day 10 explores the doctrine of God's providence. Page 525, you can find this. There we read, "What do you understand by the providence of God? God's providence is his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. What does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them by his providence? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from his love, for all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they cannot so much as move." After the sermon, we'll sing of the glory of Christ, our great King, in hymn 45, verse 1, 2, and 3. Beloved in Christ, probably everyone's life has times when we stand amazed by the providence of God. We see clear examples of how God carefully orchestrates every event. We see it, how the Father lovingly guides all things for our good. For example, on the same day that you get this big car repair bill, same day, some unexpected Centrelink funds arrive in your account. Your anxiety over money disappears at once, thanks to God's providence. Or you bump into an old classmate when you're on holidays and you have a really good chat together about the faith. God's providence. Or perhaps within 1 week's time, you hear a sermon on a piece of scripture, and then there's a meditation on the same passage in your daily devotional, and then it's also the topic at club. It's almost like God is trying to tell you something. We say that's God's providence. We often think about God's providence, too, when there are big events like natural disasters or conflicts. For instance, reflecting on the COVID pandemic and all the troubles that have resulted, we might say things like, "I sure don't know where all this is going, but this is God's providence. We know this too is in his hands." And so we see God's hand in the remarkable coincidences of life. We also confess that God governs important global events. But do we really think about God's providence at all the other times? When Lord's Day 10 talks about God's providence, notice that it uses very concrete and very ordinary examples from daily life. It says that God so governs things that leaf and blade, rain and drought, health and sickness, riches and poverty come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. The Catechism wants it to be very clear to us how real, how personal is God's providence. It's even in the normal stuff of every day. It's in our homework and our housework. It's our breakfast. It's at our tea time. It's in our morning walk, and it's in our nightly rest. God's providence. The point is that God's care misses nothing, overlooks no detail. Instead, all creation And all the small little bits of our own lives, too, are in God's hands. God's providence is His perfect government of everything. And today we hear just how fully God has us covered, for all three persons of the Trinity are at work for us in this almighty and ever-present power. We see it in our theme, gladly confessing the providence of the triune God. We'll see that He's conforming everything to the will of the Father, putting everything under the Son, and marking every believer with the Spirit. First, our triune God is conforming everything to the will of the Father. Your will be done. We say that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Praying for God's will to be done implies, of course, that our Father in heaven has a will. He has a plan, an intent for the world that He made. And because God Almighty is Almighty, Creator, His will is effective. God does what He wants and how He wants to do it. With the Catechism, we confess that all things come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. And beloved, that is immensely reassuring when we know that the Father's good will, His purpose, determines all the ins, all the outs of a life. We rest in Him, for Father knows best. Who better is able to manage this world than the God who is perfect in all His ways, the God who is infinite in power and wisdom and goodness? Yet we have to acknowledge that there is some mystery here, mystery to the Father's providence over all things. When we say mystery, we think of things that are strange and undefined. Well, Scripture uses the word mystery too, like in Ephesians 1 verse 9, when it says, He made known to us, listen, the mystery of His will. The God we worship is not unpredictable. He's not unknowable. Then God would not be a father. A true father is not an enigma, someone cloaked in mystery and unapproachable. He's someone you can relate to, someone whose hand you can hold. And so God the Father has shown the mystery of His will to us, His children. Just think about that. Think of how much we know about God and God's will for our life. We know God's glorious name. We know who God is, what He's like, His attributes. We know the will of God in terms of the truth of where we came from and how we are to live by faith in Christ. We know our purpose on earth, why God has put us here. There's no mystery about how God wants you and me to live. We've been blessed to know so much of the Father's mind. But we don't know everything. The mystery of God's will means that some things are still hidden. Moses spoke about this in Deuteronomy 29:29 when he said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever." The secret things belong to the Lord our God. You might compare it to parents that don't want to tell their kids everything. The kids might hear mom and dad talking in their special quiet voices in the lounge. And the children, of course, they want to know immediately what it's all about. But there are some things they don't need to know. Some things they wouldn't understand. Some things would only make the kids worry. It actually can be a loving thing to withhold information, to spare children a knowledge of the facts that would overwhelm them. So it is for God our Father. He's told us so much about Himself, so much about this world and His will and even our future. But there are also things about His will that we would not fathom. Some things God will not reveal to us while we're here on earth. For example, there's many examples, but one is that we can't understand certain aspects of the Trinity, like how the Son is begotten of the Father, and yet the Son is equal and eternal together with the Father. And we puzzle, too, over concepts like everlasting life. How long is eternity? Won't heaven get boring for us by the time we've spent 300 years there? Our small minds can't handle the mystery. And then relating this especially to God's providence, we have more hard questions. There's no doubt that we wrestle with the will of God. If God upholds and governs all things, why did that young person have to die? Why can't the good God give healing after all those years of illness? Why did our son leave the church even after everything we taught him? What's the purpose? What's the point of this difficulty? There are mysteries here that we cannot understand. And if you spend your life agonizing over what you don't know, you'll probably never find relief. But what we do know about the Father's will is something we can build on, something we can count on. Listen to Ephesians 1 verse 9 again. God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. In all his dealings with us, we know that God our Father has a purpose. He does it in his good pleasure. And it's his purpose in Christ, the one who saves us. He will not do things to harm us, but to help us, so that his name and Christ's name receives glory. Indeed, when it comes to his will, the Father is pleased to tell his children about what we need to know. He gives us the needed insight into his plan and purpose. And Ephesians 1 says, everything God has revealed centers on the work of Jesus Christ. Simply put, the Father's great purpose is to grant us eternal salvation through his only Son. His purpose is to cleanse us from sin and make us his own possession. And beloved, that gospel of Christ immediately puts providence in a completely different light. From the moment of our conception to the day of our death, our lives are guided and sustained by a good and loving God, one who is looking to save us. That comes out in how the Catechism speaks about the Father's hand throughout this Lord's Day. Just one example is at the end of answer 27, all things come to us by his fatherly hand. God's in control of the universe. But he's not a loveless micromanager, the kind of being who craves control for its own sake. No, his fatherly hand, his loving hand, rests upon us. There's a fatherly hand upholding our universe. In his providence, he's doing all things for the benefit of his beloved children. The Father is so concerned to save sinners that he has even chosen certain people to receive his grace. Ephesians 1 says that God predestined us, decided in advance to save us. That's his purpose, and so nothing is left to chance when it comes to our salvation. The Father predestined us, called us as his children, and then set us on that path to our eternal home. His plan to save his elect will most certainly be accomplished. Beloved, all this is amazing when you think about how our own plans and how our own purposes can quickly change. Many of us start our day, we'll start tomorrow with a long list of things that we want to accomplish. But then suddenly at 8:15 there's a snag. Or by 10 o'clock we're sidetracked and all our plans need drastic revising. But the Father carries on exactly according to how He planned it. Right down to the last leaf and blade. He works all things, Paul says in Ephesians 1, He works all things according to the counsel of His will. It's even more astounding to think about that in terms of when God put His agenda together. God did all this before the foundation of the world, before the universe was called into being, before anything happened, good or bad, before Satan's rebellion or mankind's fall or any of our own choices, before any of this, the Father made His plan. And now He works all things according to the counsel of His will. No wonder the Catechism says there's such a great benefit in knowing this. There's such a sure comfort. The good news is that nothing can prevent God from saving His children. Nothing can stop God from building His church. Disasters cannot derail Him. A hardened heart is no barrier. Our many failures will not stop the progress of His plan. Not even Satan and all his hosts can be effective against the Lord, because they, together with all things, cannot so much as move without God's will. Beloved, we know that we will not be kept from trouble. And the hard questions about what has happened to us in the past remain. With anxiety about what will happen in the future, that remains. But we are comforted. The Father is working out His perfect plan. He's acting in love for His children in Christ. And so we see also that God is putting everything under the sun. If you look at Lord's Day 10, you won't see any mention of Jesus, God the Son. But it's beneficial to know that Christ, our Savior, has a key role in God's providence. How does Christ relate to God's governing and upholding of all things? Well, just think for a moment of where Jesus is at the moment. He's seated in heaven at God's right hand. He's in a position of supreme authority, ruling over all things, great and small, seen and unseen. For instance, Ephesians 1 says that Christ is at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and He is there above every name that is named. Yes, those terms talking about powers and might and dominion, they don't mean much to us. But in Paul's time, they referred to different classes of evil spirits. These are the demons. These are the devils that are moving about in this world. But Ephesians 1 says, Christ is exalted over every evil power, Lord over every name that is named. Satan and all his hosts are subject to Christ. And if Christ is Lord over even the greatest spiritual forces in the universe, the unseen realm of Satan, then Christ is also Lord over every lesser realm. And for his reign, Christ has a clear purpose. Ephesians 1 tells us God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, or for the church. Christ, the King, does not have a hidden agenda. Descended Christ as head over all things for his people. Christ is governing with eyes constantly on His people. He rules all things for us. That's an amazing truth for us personally. For it means that you and I have no need to be afraid. For us, fear is a natural reaction. We're not just afraid of heights or public speaking or snakes. Usually we can avoid those things if we take the right precautions, but we also fear, besides those things, everything that can go wrong in our life. We fear other people and how they'll react. We fear not having the right answer. We fear not having enough strength. But beloved, something good actually happens when we realize that we are powerless like this. Then we are ready to be reminded that Christ is King. We're ready to be reminded that our lives are completely secure. We've been entrusted to Jesus by God the Father. As Christ once said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." You and I and all our fears and troubles have been given to Christ. And that means we are secure in Christ. And it's an amazing truth for us also as church that Christ is our King. Think about what Christ said to the apostles just before He ascended. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." With that knowledge and that amazing confidence, Jesus sent them out to make disciples of all nations. As people who are living and working in this world, it's good for us to know Christ has authority over all things. For instance, that means that we can depend on Him when we do mission work. We look to Christ for guidance, for blessing. We can also seek His blessing when we witness to our neighbors. Here too, in our own witnessing, we can be very fearful, worrying about people's reactions, worrying that we won't have the right words, worrying that if too many people join us from the outside, we'll lose something. But maybe we'd be less fearful if we remembered that Christ is Almighty King. He is able to open closed hearts. He'll give courage. He'll help us to stay faithful. And because Christ has all authority, He will also defend us. Just think for a moment of all those in our society who seek to suppress the church. They want to silence biblical teaching. These people are intimidating. Make a lot of noise. And they seem to have all the momentum. But then we remember, all things are under Christ's feet, even His enemies. He's on His throne, ruling in a position of strength. Through Christ, the Father governs all things. And then remember, too, the goal of God's providence. He wants all things in heaven and on earth to be brought together under Christ. God desires that the whole world be subject to His Son. That doesn't mean that everyone will be saved. Doesn't mean that everyone will be reconciled in peace to their Maker. But does mean that one day all people will acknowledge the triune God. One day all people will bow before God's Son as Lord. John says in Revelation 1, every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. They might deny Him now, they might oppose Him now, but one day it won't be possible anymore. The Son will be seen for who He is, the King of all creation, the Lord of the universe, and the Savior of those who trusted in Him. So let us know and let us trust that with Christ in heaven, We are in good hands, today and forever. Well, a final point to consider, our triune God is marking every believer with his Spirit. God's providence can be a difficult doctrine. We can point to the right text. We can have Lord's Day 10 memorized. We can have the knowledge that the Father is in charge and that the Savior is King. But in this life, as you all know, sometimes the heart doesn't listen to the head. And that's where God the Holy Spirit comes in. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Precisely in order to make this doctrine and every doctrine real to us, to move it for us from theory to practice, from knowledge to confidence. The Holy Spirit works in us the assurance that we truly are in the Father's hands. Yes, the Father predestined all those who would belong to him. The Son is the reason that everything holds together. And the Spirit is the inner agent making known to us these good things. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, having believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. There's a couple images for the Spirit that Paul uses in those verses. In the first place, he says the Spirit is like a seal. You were sealed. Back then, as you've probably heard before, a seal was used to guarantee that something was authentic. For example, seals would mark important documents of ownership. Hot wax was placed on the paper, and then a unique seal was pressed into it. The seal would mark it as coming from a certain person, like a king or some high official. It was his, this document. It came from him. Here was the proof. Well, likewise, the Spirit seals us, guarantees that we really and truly belong to him. That's always important for us to remember, of course. But that can be especially important to remember during the trials that God sends in his wise providence. In struggle and in stress, you can wonder, do I really matter to God? I have so many troubles these days, I wonder if God actually cares. Why don't I feel anything when I read the Bible or when I pray? But then we remind ourselves of the Spirit's seal. No, I do belong to Christ. His Spirit seals my heart. And I know that because I still believe in God. I still trust his word. I know I have the Spirit because I hate the sin that remains in my life, and I delight in doing good. If you've been sealed with the Spirit, you can be confident in all your trouble, in all your sorrow, that you do belong to God. You have the seal and the emblem of the King, that you are genuinely His. The Spirit is a seal, says Paul, and the Spirit too is a guarantee, or literally, he says, a deposit. Now we know about deposits. They mean that a bigger payment is coming. For instance, you're putting in an offer on a new car and you want to show the seller that you're serious about it, you'll make a down payment. What does that deposit say? It's your pledge that you're not going to walk away. That's what God's gift of the Spirit is like. He has given him to us as an initial payment, a pledge, a guarantee that the rest is still coming. Beloved, that too is a precious thing to keep in mind as we wrestle with God's providence. We wonder, perhaps at times, if we will have the strength to keep going. We struggle to see what is the path ahead for our life. And then we remind ourselves, I have the Spirit. I know that He who has begun a good work in me will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. I already have a down payment of God's riches. It's a small deposit. But I know more is coming. God guarantees to you that He's not going to walk away. He'll stick with you. You're a child of God. That's not ever going to change. No wonder when the Catechism describes the benefit of knowing God's providence, it says we can look to the future with a firm confidence. Looking ahead, we're not afraid. Looking ahead, we know that no creature shall separate us from God's love. For we have God's deposit. Looking ahead, we are confident of a good finish. Yes, the Spirit makes this difficult doctrine real to us. By the Spirit, we can know God as Father. By the Spirit, we can know the Son as Savior and King. By the Spirit, we can have our eyes enlightened, that we may know our great hope in the Lord God. Beloved, this calls us all to pay attention to what the Spirit is telling us. He is the unseen counselor, speaking into our lives every day. Look at your life and see God's faithfulness. Open His Word and read God's steadfast promise. Gather with His people. Experience God's goodness. By the Spirit's work, we know that God's providential care for us is so real, so personal, and full of comfort. We know that when we belong to the triune God, we lack nothing at all. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. Almighty and triune God, we praise and glorify you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. O Lord, we cannot come close to comprehending how great and majestic you are. Yet we confess that you hold all things perfectly in your power, now and forever. Father, we thank you for your care over us as God, that we may rest assured in how great is your providence, how complete is your control, how steadfast is your power, and unchanging is your grace in all things, great and small. Father, we give you praise that in whatever situation we face in our lives here on earth, we may know you have everything determined, directed in your power and plan. Our times are truly in your hands. Lord, you are working out your purpose. And we know that it is a good purpose, for it is a purpose in Christ Jesus. You have entrusted us to our Savior, and he will lose none of those whom you have given him. Christ, our Savior, rules over our lives, even in the very smallest details. And so we know that we are secure in him. Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would help us to believe these things, to trust in them. Help us by your Spirit, O Lord, to be patient, to trust in your goodness, even in any adversity that you send to us. Help us, too, to be thankful for your many good gifts. Work within us a spirit of thankfulness. Help us, too, to look forward confidently to the future, sure of your faithfulness, sure of our salvation. And Father, we thank you too that we may pray to you, knowing that you are the great King and Lord over all. So Lord, we pray that you would bless the country that we live in, that you would bless our government, our local government and state and commonwealth. Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his cabinet. We pray that you would lead their path, that they might seek to rule us with wisdom and understanding. Bless our Premier, Mark McGowan, as well, and our state government. Lord, give them what they need to make decisions that are for the good of this state. Give a spirit of humility before your laws and your precepts. Grant repentance, O Lord, when they stray from your ways. We pray that you would restrain the wickedness of people through your gift of good government. Father, we thank you too that you are the one in charge over all this world. And so we pray that you would continue to watch over the nations, the presidents, and the armies of men. Father, we pray especially that there would be peace in places that have been so troubled by war and unrest. We pray again for restoration of peace in Ukraine, that justice and fairness would rule as it is your will. Here too, O Lord, we pray that you would restrain the evil deeds of men, that you would protect your people in the Ukraine. Help them to shine the light of the gospel during a dark time. Father, we are grateful to confess that these events too are in your hands, that you are the God who can do all things. So be near to all those who suffer. Be near to your people in places where they are persecuted. And Lord, we pray, continue to be near to us. Bless us in this day, that in the remainder of our day it would be one pleasing to you in every way. And in this week too, Father, give us confidence again to know that all creatures are so completely in your hand that without your will they cannot so much as move. Father, help us to know there is nothing that can keep us from your love. Confirm the hearts of all your children. Strengthen us in the power of your grace, that from day to day we would be devout in prayer to you, busy in your word, and sincere in love for one another. We pray all these things, Lord God, asking that you would hear us as you have promised, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your gifts will be received for support of the needy students. We will sing a final song of praise, hymn 82, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of our God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.